Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
There will be many banners that look alike one another that will be raised. Where should we know where the true Islam is? Is it the banner of Hezbollah? It's the banner of Saudi Arabia? It's the banner of Al-Assad? It's the banner of, like, where is guidance at? He said, our matter is clearer than the sun. And that's our banner. We're the only banner that is raised that's written in it, Al-Bay'a Lillah. Allegiance is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Al-Imma wal-Mahdiin wa sallim taslima. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inshallah, you guys are well. Thank you for joining me here tonight. And thank you, Sister Alia, for being here with us.
Thank you so much, Abu Sadiq, for this opportunity.
God bless you. So today I figured we'd talk about a very important concept in the entire world, really. I think it's one of the most important concepts in the world, in the whole world, regardless of the continent that you're living on or the country in which you belong to or the land from which you were born. This concept is the concept of the Pledge of Allegiance. This is one of those universal concepts that everybody seems to know about. Whether you speak Urdu and you're Pakistani, or you speak English and you're an American, or you speak Arabic and you're an Egyptian, or you speak Spanish and you're a Mexican, no matter where you're from, cross-culture, right, cross-religion, denomination, everybody seems to be in agreement on this concept that you have to have a Pledge of Allegiance. It's not possible for you to not pledge allegiance to somebody or something. Everybody agrees on that. And that's quite a fascinating thing when you really think about it, that the whole world, with all of its differences, with all of its differences of opinions in terms of politics, in terms of religion, in terms of everything else, they agree on this concept that you have to pledge allegiance to somebody. And I don't think everybody is aware of this fact. And I think that not everybody's aware of this fact because it is not everyone who is required to, or not everybody has the chance to, or the ability to, or it's not everybody who ends up becoming a citizen of another country, all right? It's only when you become a citizen of another country do you realize that you're required to make this Pledge of Allegiance, and that it seems to be that the country that you were born into and that you were a citizen of automatically assumes that you make this Pledge of Allegiance, even if you didn't physically make it.
Right.
For example, you have here in the United Kingdom, when you become a citizen of the United Kingdom, there is this ceremony that you have to take part of. So there are these requirements, and then eventually you fulfill the requirements, residency requirements, language requirements, etc. You have to pass a test of your basic knowledge of British history, etc. And then you end up reaching a point where there's this ceremony that you attend. And then you go and you go to this room, and they have a guy standing there, and there's other people that are getting ready to take, to become citizens. And they have a very big picture there of the king.
Yeah.
And you have to stand next to the picture of the king or the queen. In the past, now it's the king. And you have to repeat this formula, and they call the formula the Oath of Allegiance, right? Or the Pledge of Allegiance. And as part of that oath, you basically, you state in so many words that you swear that you're going to pay true allegiance to the King of the United Kingdom and his heirs and successors.
Yes.
Yeah. So that is what we would call in Arabic a bay'ah, a pledge of allegiance, and they call it a pledge of allegiance. So before you become a citizen of the UK, you must pledge allegiance to somebody as a requirement in order for them to give you the benefits of citizenship, and that somebody is the king, whom they consider to be the highest authority. You have to recognize him, and you have to pay true allegiance to him. What is true allegiance? True allegiance is that you recognize that he's above the law, that you're taking him as your king, that you're swearing and promising that you're going to abide by all of his commandments, and that you're going to serve him in every which way that he wishes. And then, and not just him, but also his successors and his heirs after him, his vicegerents, essentially, right?
Yeah.
And then after that, you say, you know, that, and also I'm going to respect the laws of the United Kingdom and the system of democracy, etc.
Right.
Okay. So that's fascinating. So the UK requires you to make a bay'ah. Not a lot of people knew that. Not a lot of people knew that you have to give a bay'ah to the king, actually, and not the system itself. Because across the world, there are different types of pledges of allegiance, but they all agree on the Pledge of Allegiance. It's just they differ on who you're pledging allegiance to or what you're pledging allegiance to. So the United Kingdom is similar to Saudi Arabia in that. We all saw that recently. When King Abdullah died in 2015, and then his heir came to power, and that was King Salman, and the cameras were rolling, and all of the Saudis had to stand in line, and they had to go forward, and they had to physically shake the hand of the new king, right, or a representative of the new king, and they had to essentially swear an oath of allegiance or make a bay'ah to the new king, which was the exact same formula as the one that they make in the UK. You're swearing that you're going to be loyal to the king, King Salman of Saudi Arabia, and to his heirs and to his successors. Many countries are like that. They require you to pledge allegiance to the royal family in the east of the lands and in the west of the lands. And if you don't do so, you're not considered to be a member of that country or a member of that society, right? Mm. And you're considered to be an outsider. You don't have any rights. The United States of America, also, when you become a citizen of the U.S., it requires you to make a bay'ah. The bay'ah of the U.S. is a little bit different than the bay'ah of the U.K. or the bay'ah of Saudi Arabia, in the sense that you're not to pledge allegiance to an individual in particular, right? And that's why the Americans, which were a former British colony. They ended up fighting the War of Independence in order to break away from that sense, system of pledging allegiance to a king. But they still required you, in order to be an American citizen, to pledge allegiance to something else. And that something else is the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America.
Right.
Yeah. So the United States and other countries similar to the United States required that. So now you have certain countries that require you to pledge allegiance to a family or to an individual, a ruler. Other countries, they require you to pledge allegiance to a set of laws, man-made laws, a constitution, a dastur, so to speak. And that's interesting. That is interesting. So you're essentially pledging allegiance to a system, right? And they also ask you on the application for U.S. citizenship a bunch of questions before they offer you that opportunity. From those questions are, do you have a problem with democracy? Have you ever had a problem with democracy? Wow. Would you ever work against democracy? Do you accept, all these types of questions to ensure that you have full allegiance to and commitment to the system of the United States. And you have the same thing in some of the Eastern countries. They might have a different system, a system of socialism or communism, and they require you to swear allegiance to that system. But that same concept of swearing allegiance is there no matter what country it is or what continent it lies on. You have a third type of pledging of allegiance that's required in particular countries, countries such as Egypt. If you're going to become an Egyptian citizen, they require you to pledge allegiance to Egypt, the land, the country, right? And to the Republic.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Look for which it stands. So it's essentially similar to the American Pledge of Allegiance, right? Except that it adds in there, it's a pledge to the land itself, the land of Egypt, in addition to the system which it has in place, which is its laws or its constitution. So that's fascinating, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it seems to be that it has to be some form of allegiance, and people are paying allegiance, whether they're doing it. They're rushing to do it for the sake of the allegiance or for something else. Everyone is carrying something on their necks from everywhere, whether, like you said, whether it's to a system or to a person. But it does exist. You can't escape it.
Exactly. You can't escape it. And that wording that you used, I don't think you used it by mistake, carrying something on their neck. Use that intentionally because it takes us to the religion of Islam. And to the crux, the center of the religion of Islam. And the whole religion of Islam, if you were going to summarize it for people that are unfamiliar with the religion, it can be summed up in one narration by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, whoever dies and doesn't know the Imam of his time has died the death of ignorance. Another version of this narration is whoever dies and does not have a pledge of allegiance in his neck has died the death of ignorance. And who is this Pledge of Allegiance supposed to be to? We have a third hadith which clarifies it. And it basically says that whoever dies and doesn't have a Pledge of Allegiance to an Imam from Ali Muhammad has died the death of ignorance. And so here we have it. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that you have to, in order to enter into paradise and not die like one of the idol worshippers that are upon complete misguidance in the pre-Islamic times, you have to pledge allegiance to an imam from the family of Muhammad.
That's amazing.
This concept is a very touchy one. And there are tons of narrations from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam which spoke about this very idea and spoke about how important it is. One of the narrations from the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam states that the very basic degree of being misguided is to not know who the Imam of your time is. Unless you know the Imam of your time, then you are misguided. This is the fine line between guidance and misguidance. Anybody who does not have an Imam is upon misguidance. Another narration from the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam says that nobody is excused. Not a single person will be excused on the day of judgment who claims that they didn't know that Ali Muhammad or the Imams from the family of Muhammad alayhi salam were the rulers over all of mankind.
That's incredible.
Think about that narration for a moment. They said that nobody on the day of judgment, nobody will be excused who says, I didn't know that the Imams from Ali Muhammad were the rulers. The word rulers is used there. Rulers over mankind. So now we have a little bit of a problem. Yeah. And that is that it's not just the countries in the world that recognize this notion of a pledge of allegiance and require it. It's also God Almighty and the religion of Islam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that made it obligatory that we, and demands from us also that we recognize this concept of the Pledge of Allegiance. And it is this concept of the Pledge of Allegiance that will make the difference in whether or not we're going to enter into paradise or go into hellfire. There are so many narrations, Alia, that state that anybody who denies the Imam of their time dies as a Jew or as a Christian or as an atheist or as a polytheist or somebody who died the death of ignorance. The person who does not accept the Imam of his time on the day of judgment will be punished severely. And so now we have a duty. And the duty is to find the Imam of the time. We have a duty religiously to do so, but we also have a duty in the world politically to pledge allegiance to somebody. Dunya is requiring us to pledge allegiance to somebody. And our religion and God is requiring us to pledge allegiance to somebody. Most people that are Shia and that believe in this concept, even though the hadith is also in existence in Sunni Islam, find no problem in pledging allegiance to both, like accepting, for example, Imam al-Mahdi as the Imam of the time, but also pledging allegiance to, you know, the king of Saudi Arabia, for example, or pledging allegiance to another king or entity. But unfortunately, there's this concept of bara'ah that also comes in. So the oath of allegiance, according to the narrations, is not valid unless you also accompany that pledge of allegiance with declaring yourself innocent from particular tyrants or really anybody else.
That makes sense. How can you have both?
You can't. And that's why the Americans also agree on that. Like Muhammad and the family of Muhammad and the American system, they agree on the same thing. You know, because in that same oath of allegiance that you declare to the Constitution and the laws of the United States, there's a sentence in there which says that basically I declare myself innocent from any foreign prince. It says foreign prince, you know, or king or any other authority figure or system or government, anything. You have to declare yourself innocent from all people besides the United States of American Constitution and its laws. And the same thing we see happening with the narrations of Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, that they require you to pledge allegiance to the Imam of your time, but also to declare yourself innocent from any of the false imams, the imams of misguidance, the rulers of misguidance, the tyrants who sit on the throne in the place of the divinely appointed caliph of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the mere idea that Muhammad and the family of Muhammad are the, you know, wula ala al-khalq, the authority, rulers over creation, means that anybody else who poses himself as a ruler is a false ruler, and you have to declare yourself innocent. You can't have both of them. There's a very famous story in the time of the Prince of the Believers, alayhi salam, where he had with him one of his companions. His name was Amr. And Amr had like seven of his friends, and all of them, Amr was the eighth, all of them decided that they were going to disbelieve in Imam Ali alayhi salam. They didn't want to believe in him anymore. They wanted to apostate. And they decided to go up to him with an excuse one day. They said, look, we got to leave. We got to go take care of some business at home, but we're afterwards going to come back to you. And Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, he questions them. He says to them, are you guys going to apostate from your duties, from your pledge of allegiance that you made to the brother of Rasulullah, to your duties, all of this stuff? They made the same excuse again. They said, oh no, we're not apostating. We are basically, we just got to go take care of some business and we will be back. And so they left. And like true hypocrites, when they left, they thought to themselves, you know, they began to mock the Prince of the Believers, alayhi salam, and so they set up camp. They're sitting around, a lizard runs by. They capture the lizard, and then Amr said, bring the lizard over here. They brought the lizard to them, and then they said, this is the Prince of the Believers here, the lizard is. And then Amr tells his companions, he says, why don't we pledge allegiance to the lizard? And so they began to mock the concept of the pledge of allegiance.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
And mock the Prince of the Believers by each and every one of them taking turns to, you know, like put their hand, or hold the hand of the lizard and shake it and do it like a bay'ah. You know, and say, I'm pledging allegiance to my master, the Prince of the Believers, the lizard. And so after they had completed doing that, Friday came, and they were in the city, and Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was on the minbar, and he was giving the Friday speech. And he was giving the Friday speech about the concept of the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay. And then he says in there, it is as if, he says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the Day of Judgment, all people will be resurrected with the Imam of their time, the one that they pledged allegiance to. And it is as if I see a group of so-called believers being led to hellfire by the lizard that they pledged allegiance to. And that hadith really is extremely terrifying.
It's quite heavy.
It's extremely terrifying, and it is heavy because it basically means that the oath of allegiance that we make, it sticks to our neck. It's like a chain that drags us. On the Day of Judgment, we will each and every one of us stand next to that which we pledged allegiance to. The people that pledged allegiance to the lizard, they wake up on Judgment Day and they find the lizard standing there. And he's like, hello, my Shia. And then he begins to lead them onto the way to hellfire. There are other narrations that specifically state that on the Day of Judgment, all things that people pledged allegiance to would manifest itself. Those people who pledged allegiance to Jesus, they would find Jesus. Those people who pledged allegiance to the tree will find the tree. Those people who pledged allegiance to Muhammad will find Muhammad. Those people, everybody who had an imam that they pledged allegiance to, whatever it is that they pledged allegiance to, would manifest itself. Even if it was Iraq. And that means that, technically speaking, you know, the hadith is stating that all those people that pledged allegiance to a king would, on the Day of Judgment, be resurrected with that king. All those people that pledged allegiance to Hulaku Khan would be resurrected, and they would find Hulaku Khan. Those people who pledged allegiance to Pharaoh, Pharaoh has Shia who pledged allegiance to him. Pharaoh would be resurrected on the Day of Judgment, and he would be leading all of his Shia. Nimrod will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment, and he would lead all of his Shia. And everything else that the people pledge allegiance to would be there, and they would be required to follow their imam or that which they pledged allegiance to. And if that imam that they pledged allegiance to was from God, that imam would lead them to God and to paradise. And if that imam was not appointed by God, then that imam would lead them to hellfire and would lead them to that which appointed that imam. And that's terrifying.
It also makes me wonder about these ideas that exist in Islam right now, where people think they can be a Muslim and they can please God without knowing their imam or having that pledge of allegiance. How would they then be led at that point? They would need that imam to take them to paradise. It's not enough to just imagine you're a good person. You'd need to have that leader that you've pledged to who could take you to God according to that ideology.
Exactly. So the pledge of allegiance is not to be taken lightly, Alia. And it's a requirement. It's a divine requirement. And that's where our religion really like centers around. This notion, this idea, this belief that is ingrained within us, that we believe firmly in, that if governments and nations and kings and princes have the right to demand from us an oath of allegiance, well, our religion teaches us that God also demands from us an oath of allegiance. And we reserve without any hesitation the right to practice our religion freely. and to state that the only way of salvation, and it's really that center point that differentiates our faith and our dawah from any other sect of Islam or denomination of Christianity or of Judaism, even though this aspect or this concept was the basis for all of these faiths before they went astray, this aspect of pledging allegiance only to the Imam of our time, that is what distinguishes us as a people and what guarantees our salvation, and it is that idea and that promise that we hold on to firmly, which gives us the strength and the certitude to know that out of all of the lost sects of Islam, that we are the sect that is saved. For we pledge allegiance, just as they pledge allegiance to a king, we pledge allegiance to a king, except that our king is from the family of Muhammad alayhi salam. Yes. As a divinely appointed representative of God, that is the only king that we pledge allegiance to. We pledge allegiance to a constitution, but we don't pledge allegiance to a man-made constitution. We pledge allegiance to a divine constitution, and that divine constitution is embodied in the appointment of the individual whose name is on the will of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he wrote on his deathbed. If we are required to, and it's considered to be a good thing, that we pledge allegiance to an earthly king and his heirs and successors, that's a very big promise. Like, I'm promising to pledge allegiance to a fallible human being and his fallible children. I should have the right to pledge allegiance to a spiritually divinely appointed, infallible king who's appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's a prophet messenger, who's the best of all messengers, the master of creation, one of the Ahli Kisa, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad alayhi wa al-Mahdi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad alayhi wal mahdi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad alayhi wal mahdi wa sallim taslima.
So that's my religion. Our religion tells us that basically, like, pledging allegiance to anything or anybody else is a ticket to hellfire. It's pretty much making us be on par with those people who pledged allegiance to the lizard. We can't do that. Voting we can't do, because as believers, we consider it to be interfering in divine appointment, which is not allowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Holy Quran, "Verily, I am making a caliph in the land." He is the one who's making a caliph in the land. We believe in the Torah, and we believe that God was greatly offended when the Israelites were suggesting to interfere in the divine appointment process that God had set up, and they rejected Samuel's sons, and they wanted somebody else other than Samuel really to be in the picture. They wanted the king, and God was greatly offended. He said, "You guys are going to regret this." And so we believe that the religion of Islam is it means submission. And submission to who? Submission to whoever's appointed by God. Who's appointed by God? The person whom is the Imam of the time. Who's the Imam of the time? The Imam that, if you don't pledge allegiance to the Imam of the time, you die the death of ignorance. How do you find this Imam of the time? The Ahl-Bayt alayhim salam state that it's an obligation. to know every single imam of the time after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leading until the current time that we're in. We believe that, you know, this is a sunnah. This is a sunnah that took place from the time of Adam until now. The children of Adam would gather in secret, and they would open up the will of Adam, and they would see the names of the successors that came after Adam, those divinely appointed kings. We believe that the divinely appointed imams from Muhammad and the family of Muhammad are Ali ibn Abi Talib, and then Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba, and then al-Husayn, and then Ali Zayn al-Abidin, and then Muhammad al-Baqir, and then Ja'far al-Sadiq, and then Musa Qazim, and then Ali al-Rida, and then Muhammad al-Jawad, and then Ali al-Hadi, and then al-Hasan al-Askari, and then Muhammad al-Mahdi, and then Ahmad al-Hasan, and then Abdullah Abbas Sadiq, and then al-Mahdi. These are the 12 imams and the first of the three Mahdis that succeed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, that are the divinely appointed imams of every day and age from the family of Muhammad. Nobody else has any other alternative that is convincing other than that. And that's what we are required to do, to pledge allegiance to the imam. And if you pledge allegiance to the imam of the time, then the narrations from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam state that you are saved, and that no sins can harm you, and that you will enter into paradise. And if you don't, or you pledge allegiance to anybody else, then you're going to go into hellfire. And that anybody who pledges allegiance to two people, if you pledge allegiance to the imam of your time, and anything else, that you're a mushrik, you are a polytheist. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the Ahl Bayt, when they're quoting and interpreting the verse of the Quran, which basically states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive all sins except that he be associated with, this means what? This means that you take as an imam who is not appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in addition to the imam that was appointed. There's one narration that says that the individual will never be excused who states, I believe in and I love the imam of my time, but I also love these other people. I just don't know who is the truly appointed one or the truly appointed ruler. So you can't even do that. You can't love Imam Ali and say, I'm not sure if it was Imam Ali or Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. You know, they're all dead now. I'm not sure which one was the right imam. You're not excused for that. So you have to have only loyalty and swear obedience to Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. It's a requirement that we have, you know, a sword at our necks, and it's what obligates us to hold on tight to the will. And that's the whole point why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his deathbed, he said, let me write for you a book that if you hold on to it, you will never, ever, ever go astray. And they tried to prevent him from writing it, but he wrote it. And that will that protects against misguidance is the will that holds in it the names of those people that we have to pledge allegiance to. That's the importance of it. It's the constitution that we must swear allegiance to that bears the names of the heirs and the successors of the kings that are representatives of God in creation.
Alhamdulillah. Abu Sadiq, you said that pledging allegiance to the wrong imam or the wrong person or ruler would essentially lead a person to hellfire.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say also that you have...
Because when you're pledging allegiance to somebody, or when you're electing somebody, you're endorsing them. You're supporting them.
Yes.
You're agreeing with them in everything that they're doing. The narrations from the Ahl Bayt alayhim salam, they stated that if somebody dies, if somebody's murdered in the east of the land and somebody in the west is happy about that, means that he endorses it. He's a partner in that murder, all right? So what about the person who elects or pledges allegiance to? When you pledge allegiance, you're saying, I'm swearing my life am I everything for you, and I agree with you.
Yeah.
Do whatever it is that you want. So you're kind of, yeah, it's not going to work. You're going to share in the burdens of that country. So those who pledge allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and its laws, they are responsible for everything that goes good and bad underneath those laws. You know, the people that pledge allegiance to King Salman or any other king, they're pledging allegiance to partake in the good deeds or bad deeds of that particular king, unfortunately. So that's the thing. And those who pledge allegiance to somebody who's infallible, who cannot make a mistake or a sin, well, then they don't have anything to worry about, because there's no mistakes or sins or crimes or oppression or tyranny that's going to take place. And that's why for us, we can't feel comfortable unless we do that. Am I saying that, you know, that it's haram to participate in elections? I'm saying that, or pledge allegiance to anybody else. I'm saying people are free to do whatever they want to do. But I'm saying that Muhammad and the family of Muhammad and our religion says that it's going to be something that's going to lead you into hellfire. And we have to say it boldly. We have to say it clearly. Yes. We have a responsibility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do so. If we don't do so, then how is it that we are going to be people that are shining the light for all those to see? I think that in this matter, our da'wah is super clear. And like Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when he was speaking to his companions, Mufaddal ibn Umar, and he was saying that in those times, there will be great confusion in the end times, and there will be many people that are claiming imamate, and there will be many people that are claiming to be the guidance of the world. There will be many banners that look alike one another that will be raised. Where should we know where the true Islam is? Is it the banner of Hezbollah? It's the banner of Saudi Arabia? It's the banner of Al-Azhar? It's the banner of, like, where is guidance at? He said, our matter is clearer than the sun. Mm-hmm. And that's our banner. We're the only banner that is raised, that's written in it, Al-Bay'ah Lillah. Allegiance is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is the center of our whole religion. Our whole religion is about this pledge of allegiance. That's why it's on the middle of our flag.
The idea of not pledging allegiance to the right imam and pledging it to the wrong one, leading you to hellfire. Mm-hmm. It's hellfire on earth as well. Those who are pledging allegiance to these tyrants and these corrupt systems are suffering, and they're in a very bad place. And the true imam and pledging allegiance to the true imam is the ultimate freedom, which is what the will of Prophet Muhammad has provided and what you have basically highlighted in this call. And this is why people are pledging their allegiance to you, because they are recognizing the freedom that they find in pledging to you. And we can testify to that.
God bless you, Alia.
Thank you, Sadiq. And
thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you so much, Sadiq, for this privilege.
And tonight, I think let's end this episode by all collectively. Whoever wants to join me in pledging allegiance to the Imam of our time, let's do that. Would like to do that? All right, let's do it. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's raise up our hand. Let's say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
I bear witness
that there is no God
but Allah.
Wa ashhadu
anna Muhammadan
Abduhu
wa Rasulu.
And I bear witness
that Muhammad
is his servant
and his messenger.
Wa ashhadu
anna Aliyan
wa al-a'imma
min wildihi
hujjatullah.
And I bear witness
and pledge allegiance to
Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib
and the Imams from his sons,
who are the proofs of Allah.
Wa ashhadu
anna al-mahdiyya
wal-mahdiyina
hujjatullah.
And I testify
that the Mahdi
and the Mahdis
are the proofs of Allah.
And I pledge allegiance to them.
Upon this I shall live.
And upon this I shall die. And upon this I shall be resurrected. And I declare myself innocent. From any other foreign prince. King, or ruler,
or
system,
or
false constitution,
or law,
or anything that didn't come from Allah subhanahu wa
ta'ala.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala
Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد الأئمة والمهديين وسلم تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد الأئمة والمهديين وسلم تسليما.
Thank you, Ani.
Thank you so much, Absalom.
That was the Pledge of Allegiance to the Imam of the time and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And any other pledge of allegiance other than that is a pledge of allegiance of hypocrisy and deceit. And alhamdulillah that God gave us success tonight in this day and age to voice that and make it clear, inshallah, for the people in the east of the land and the west of the land. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide His creation and guide His servants. And it's a great blessing and an honor if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses us to guide anybody. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, and thank you all for joining me here tonight.